I could tell she was putting all her strength into this one movement. She slowly lifted her fragile, trembling hands up to her face. Mid-movement, she extended her fingers out and slowly pointed to her lips. Starting from the middle of her lips, she curved her fingers up and out. For a second or two, she held that position and then quickly dropped her hands in exhaustion. My mom let out a small smile and told us that she was trying to tell us she was smiling. She was happy with us there. I pulled shirt after shirt from my closet and neatly folded them, tucking my clothing away into the black suitcase I would be sharing with my sister for this trip. The word trip makes it sound like a vacation, a relaxing week with family up north. I guess you could say it was something like that. A week with my family. A final week with my grandma. My family of five squeezed into the car. Already, I could tell this was going to be a long ride. 18 hours of a road trip to be exact. 9 to our first stop in San Francisco and 9 more up to Crescent City, the tip of California. As I sat in the car, always squished in the middle seat since it was basically my older sibling's right to get the seats on the edge, I remember thinking about what my mom had told me. Stay close to your grandma. This may be the last time you see her. My mind wandered back to years when my grandma used to visit us often, when she was healthy enough to travel all the way down to San Diego. Although I was young, I could remember the gifts she would bring us, maybe a sweater she knit or a small pair of earrings along with a handwritten letter. I never got to meet my grandpa. He passed away years before I was born. I've only ever heard stories about him. My personal favorite, how he always told my mom that he wanted a muñeca. Translation, a little girl. Of course, he still loved my brother when he was born, but in a way I still feel connected to him. Special. My dad would always tell me that I look like him. The same brown eyes and round face when I smile. I beam when he says this, feeling a sense of pride. First 9 hours, check. We had arrived in the city of San Francisco. It was my first time there and I cherished all the buildings surrounding me. We were tired from the ride, but decided to leave our fatigue aside since we would only be here for one day. It was time to take full advantage. Throughout the day, we traveled up and down steep streets, occasionally popping into small stores. After eating, we returned back to our hotel room ready to surrender from the long day. Our hotel room was right next to a busy road. You could hear car after car racing down the street, although it seemed to be no problem to any of us. We were all drained and asleep in a matter of seconds. The next day, we were up early and ready to continue the other half of our road trip. I was personally excited to cross the famous Golden Gate Bridge. As I predicted, it was beautiful. The huge steel structure was an eye-catching sight. We stopped at the end of the bridge where you're allowed to get down and admire the view. For a while, we watched the bay and the small boats that passed by. We also took pictures and I snapped my own on my treasured pink metallic Nintendo DS at the time. Before hopping back into the car, I took one last look around me. Scanning the bridge and the buildings in the distance, I could see why so many people longed to visit this grand city. The next 9 hours we spent on one long route. We passed hundreds of acres of farmland, and personally, I was amazed to see what different type of vegetable we would be passing as we drove along. It kept me entertained throughout most of the way. Finally, after 18 lengthy hours, we made it up to my aunt's house in Northern California. It took us an extra 20 minutes to arrive on account of not knowing which turn to take into her neighborhood, but at last we made it. We arrived late at night and greeted our aunt and uncle. This was the first time I had seen them in many years. We all sat in the living room and chatted away for hours. My uncle told joke after joke that made us erupt with laughter. My aunt then proceeded to give us a tour of her home. It was a warm space, with a comfortable living room and beautiful kitchen where my uncle created his famous dishes. What really blew me away was the backyard. Even though it was dark outside, I was able to see the huge trees surrounding her house that went in all directions. There was even a small cabin that worked as a guest room where my mom and dad would be sleeping. She told us about the deers and even bears that would show up in her backyard every once in a while. After my parents heard this, they were both afraid and nervous about staying in the cabin outside and tried to switch rooms with my brother. In the end, he wasn't convinced. Finally, after a while, we winded down and were ready to settle down for the day and visit my grandma first thing tomorrow morning. We were up bright and early the next day. This time, we prepared ourselves for a much shorter drive across the border into Oregon, where my grandma was staying, a nursing home, where they provided her treatment. For many years, my aunt was her primary caretaker, but her condition slowly worsened and she had to be moved into a separate facility where they could provide better care for her. The way there was paved with monstrous trees filling every available gap in the dirt. The roads were endless curves through the forest. Before crossing the state line, we pulled over and, like cliche tourists, took a photo standing on the state line. We cheered in excitement, yelling about how we had been in two states at once. After about an hour of more twists and turns, where I tried my best to not get nauseous, we finally arrived. We made our way inside and sat down in a large room filled with plush beige couches and large windows, waiting for my aunt to bring my grandma in. As the minutes ticked by, my nerves and excitement grew. It had been so long since I last saw her, and I longed to finally spend time with her once again. Parkinson's disease, a progressive disorder of the nervous system marked by tremor, muscular rigidity, and slow, imprecise movement. Little by little, my grandma fell ill to this vicious enemy. It started slowly until she was no longer able to speak, and every movement was followed by a tremor. I don't remember too much of when my grandma was able to talk. I was too young, and the disease had already taken over her speech. Instead, we communicated through her writing. She wrote in a complicated cursive, and at the time, I liked to pretend I was a detective and the letter was a piece of evidence. I would pretend to dissect the letter and uncover word by word, sentence by sentence, until it was one flowing piece and I could fully understand it. I loved the challenge and felt a wave of satisfaction when I finally finished. The writing itself was my favorite part. Her voice that I never heard was clear in her letters, and I couldn't be happier to get her messages every once in a while. When we finally saw my grandma, we greeted her and talked. There was no running to embrace her. She couldn't stand and could barely move. Although I knew she could understand everything we were saying, it hurt to see her like that. I wished for the impossible, to reverse time, for the opportunity to spend time with her back when she was healthier and get to have known my grandpa. I stopped my thoughts. Like I said, this was impossible. There was no use in thinking it, and much less wishing it. I wasn't going to spend my time thinking of what couldn't be. She was unable to talk, and when she lifted her hands to pull her lips into a smile, demonstrating her happiness, I quickly felt a knot begin to form in the back of my throat. So I turned around, feeling the threat of tears about to spill over. In that moment, all the memories came to me at once. Always spending time with her during Christmas, sitting next to her and watching her hands work away as she knit her latest creation, eagerly opening her letters and devouring every word she wrote, and so much more. I remembered the stories I was told about her, how she could spend hours on the couch just watching my sister and I play, and when it's time for her to go back to Crescent City, she would do her best to say the word no, while lifting her shaky hand and putting her index finger moving it side to side. Her days as a fashion designer, and the wedding dress she handmade for my mom years ago. And now, I was here, living one final memory. I shook my head and focused on the present, on the fact that she was still here and that I still had time with her. We spent the rest of the week visiting my grandma. It was a bittersweet experience. I was glad to be able to see her after years, and both my aunt and uncle, whom I rarely see, but the reason for this trip could not be ignored. I held on to every second I got to be with her and cherished it, doing my best to remember the little details. Her beautiful eyes that resembled oceans, and the pearl earrings she always wore. My stomach clenched when I tried to imagine what she was thinking. She must have known when we were all there. It hurt to think about, so I tried my best to shut that thought down and focus on my time with her. Eventually, we had to leave, and one by one, we said goodbye. When it was my turn, I took a deep breath and held in my tears. The words, "I will not cry," resonated in my head. Slowly, I walked up to her and gave her one final kiss. "I love you," I whispered. With that, I stood up and walked back towards the rest of my family. I wanted to be strong, although I now realize that's not what strength is. Once again, we were headed home. It was a long ride, and granted, I had plenty of time to think. I knew what I would be losing, both grandparents from my dad's side. The thought bit at me. I never got the opportunity to always be with them, yet I felt a connection regardless. I still do. Jose Ignacio and Maria Fernanda. I smiled at her name. Fernanda is my middle name. I'm glad to have that permanent piece of her always with me. The rest of the ride was quiet and felt even longer than the first 18 hours. After what felt like an eternity, we were back home and unpacking from the long trip. I'm not sure how many months went by when my dad got a call. They told him that his mom wasn't doing so well and that it was time for him to go back and visit her. Immediately, he packed a bag and went with his siblings to go see his mom one last time. It was only a couple days later at home when my mom got a call. Immediately, I knew what it was. She went outside to answer, but nosy me decided to eavesdrop through the window where I had clear audio of their conversation. I remember my mom asking if she was gone and the silence that followed the heavy question. "Yes," was the reply I heard. Slowly, tears streamed on my face as I sat alone. When she hung up the phone, my mom called my sister, brother, and I downstairs. I wiped my face again, not letting myself be seen crying, and went downstairs. We all knew this was just a confirmation. Slowly, she told us that my grandma had passed away. We all held each other in silence as the tears finally slipped from my eyes.